Alabama quarterback, great, helped the Alabama Crimson Tide to the national championship in 1978, a couple of Super Bowl rings as well, high school coaching legend locally here in Nashville, Jeff Rutledge, taking time out with us this morning. Good morning, Jeff, and happy College Football Saturday to you.
Good morning, and to you as well. It's good to be with you guys.
You know, I was talking about this earlier with Doug Segrist out of Birmingham about the fact that before we even get to your playing days with the Crimson Tide, I go back to your last year at Banks High School. My parents had a convenience store right there in Woodlawn, and, you know, a few years back, it was certainly immortalized by Hollywood with that movie Woodlawn. But Tony Nathan and his teammates, after practice, they would our store was like two blocks away, so they would come in. I was actually tossing the ball around with Tony Nathan when I was 11. But I still go back to that high school game at Legion Field your senior year between Banks and Woodlawn, 40,000-plus for a regular season high school game there in Birmingham.
It was a game that I can remember like it was yesterday. I mean, they predicted all week that it was going to be a large crowd get there early, you know, and it was at Legion Field, and they had closed the upper deck. You know, they had the upper deck on at Legion Field, and I think the stadium set 72,000, and there's thousands went up there. And so we go to play the game, and we go out, and it's not that big a crowd as of yet, and then evidently, when we go into the locker room, we're getting ready. Coach White, our head coach, tells us to get ready. We're getting ready to go out. And about that time, the officials come and say, hey, we're going to delay the game. And Coach White was like, well, why are we delaying the game? He said, well, there's more people outside the stadium than there is inside the stadium.
Right.
And so we delayed it. I don't know how long it was delayed, but I know when we went back out there to play, the whole place was full. And it was just an amazing sight. And then, obviously, a fun game to play in, because that was, you know, that's sort of like the Alabama-Auburn game, which is today, but that was the Banks-Woodlawn was our biggest game, and that's the game you wanted to win, and we were fortunate we came out on top.
Very special for me, your very first Iron Bowl as an Alabama football player, you and Tony, both freshmen. It's special for me as well, growing up in the state of Alabama. I'm a Bama fan growing up in a household of Auburn fans. But my late father, you know, he passed away unexpectedly 9 months later, but I was able to secure two tickets to the Iron Bowl. We were then had moved to Huntsville. My mom made him take me. And so and it was really the only game where it was just my dad and myself alone, because I grew up with two brothers and always having to share, you know, as far as going to sporting events. But it was just my dad and myself. And although as an Auburn fan, he was certainly disappointed in that 28-0 score, for me it was even more special knowing that, unfortunately, I lost him 9 months later, but I still had that great memory of that Iron Bowl.
Well, it's one I always remember. And, you know, my brother played as well. And, you know, he didn't have as great a memory of it because, you know, he was in that game where I think it was Legner blocked a punt two
yes.
different times, you know, for Auburn to win. But I know in the games I was fortunate enough to play in and win, we beat them pretty handily, if I remember. But always a fun game. I mean, you couldn't wait because I was bragging rights, you know, the state of Alabama. And you certainly wanted to be able for a year to be able to say, hey, we beat Auburn. But it's a fun game, obviously.
28-0, 38-7, 48-21, and 34-16. The one that actually sticks out was your junior year. So you go into that game ranked number two in the country. Looked like you're going to have another outstanding opportunity to win a national championship to overcome that early season loss. So you blow out Auburn by 27. You get bumped from second to third, and you end up taking on Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl. It became more significant when number one and number two goes down and Notre Dame leapfrogs Alabama, and Alabama finishes number two for that national championship in 77.
Yeah, that was, to still this day, I don't understand it. I mean, you know, we won handily, and yes, I know Notre Dame won. I think they beat Texas, wasn't it, who they played?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And in a rainstorm, from what I remember, in the Cotton Bowl, and didn't have a drive, you know, over 20, 30 yards because of the weather. But it was just one of those days, you know, that's where you wish you would have had the playoff system back in those days to be able to play, to really determine who was the better team. But not taking away anything from for Notre Dame. They are a great football team, but we just felt like we should have won that one. But fortunately, we were able to win it the next year. So,
all right. So let's see. Archie Manning plays quarterback at Ole Miss. Peyton decides, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. So he goes to Tennessee. Now, Eli Manning followed his dad's footsteps and to become the quarterback at Ole Miss. I bring it up because your brother, Gary, was the quarterback for the Crimson Tide earlier in the decade. Any chance at all you could have decided to go elsewhere other than the Crimson Tide?
You know, going to Alabama, it was never, you know, I got recruited by Auburn, and my decision came down to between Alabama and Auburn, even though I had thought about going to LSU and was real close to going to LSU after I decided Auburn wasn't going to be for me. But I remember Coach Bryant came into my house and said, "Watch this, I hear about you going to LSU." And I told him, "Well, Coach, they're running the same offense I'm running here at Banks." And he said, "Well, you want to win a national championship, don't you, son?" I said, "Well, yes, sir, I do." And he said, "Well, you won't win one there." And got up and left the house. And so I committed to him, you know, a couple of days later. But it was, you know, growing up in Birmingham, you were going to go to Alabama or Auburn. And if it came down to it, you know, there was no way I could have gone to Auburn. I just couldn't have done that. Not that I had friends that played at Auburn and know a lot of friends that went to Auburn. It's just been growing up, you know, watching my dad going to Alabama as a baseball player. My dad did go down there on a baseball scholarship. But growing up an Alabama fan, that was where I was going.
By the way, I can't go without, you know, when I have a chance to talk to former players under Bear Bryant, you know, everyone 100% always talk about the fact that even today, years later, there's still things that they carry with them on a day-to-day basis that they learn from Coach Bryant.
Oh, no question. Every time I speak, I'll tell two or three Coach Bryant stories, and obviously a lot of them really funny stories, but then some of the very serious stories. You know, Coach Bryant was one that, you know, he didn't like penalties. You know, penalties would get you beat quicker than anything he'd always say. But he really hated when you got the personal foul, when you, you know, be under a pile and somebody grabs you get up and you swing and then they throw you out of the game or throw you a 15-yard penalty. And he always used to say it takes more of a man to walk away from a fight than it does to stand there and fight. Obviously, that's so true on the football field. But he said, now put yourself out on a Friday night, Saturday night, and you're with a group of people that you know are doing the wrong thing. He said it takes more of a man to walk away from that than it does to stand there and give in to the temptation. And that's a story he would always tell us stories like that. That you would just, you know, always talk about your mom and your dad. You know, write your mom and dad a letter every week. Tell them how thankful you are for them. You know, you don't hear, I'm sure a lot of coaches do that, but it was just something Coach Bryant would just stop all of a sudden and just say, "Hey, how many of you have written your mom and dad this week? Make sure you write your mom and dad. Make sure you write your high school football coach." You know, and I was very fortunate. You know, I played for Shorty White at Banks. And then Shorty White, fortunately, went to Alabama as the running backs coach. And so I really had him for 8 years of my life. He was part of it, being there at Alabama with me as well.
Having a chance once again to visit with Jeff Rutledge, Alabama, a quarterback, great. All right, so you played a national championship game. You also have a couple of Super Bowl rings. If you had to sum up your career, college, and I'm going to even include high school because we're talking about state titles too. So high school, college, and the pros, what would you say about Jeff Rutledge, the player?
I was very fortunate. I was surrounded by a lot of great players on every level. High school, we won 36 straight games. My senior year, I think there were 7 to 8 players signed in the SEC. We were loaded. So I was always surrounded by great players. Then you go to Alabama, once again, you're surrounded by great players. And then I was fortunate when I go to the pros, you know, I go to the Rams. That was sort of a fluke thing that we went to the Super Bowl that year. We didn't win it, but we did go. And then I was fortunate, you know, when I got the Giants and Redskins to go and but I used to always tell people, "Hey, I may be a lucky charm for you because, you know, every team I always played for got to the Super Bowl." But I was just very fortunate to be around great players. But it's all about the players, and you know, but coaching comes so much into that because, you know, I played for Bill Parcells, who's one of the best. He's in the Hall of Fame. Played for Joe Gibbs, one of the best, who's in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, Coach Bryant, the best, in my opinion. So I was in high school, Shorty White. So I've played for as good a coach as you could ever play for. and just very fortunate to be able to do that.
You know, it's interesting. Before I let you go, Jeff, not only were you a solid player, but everybody that's encountered you, been around you, they talk about what an even better person you are from the, you know, the football field and the impact that you've had over the decades.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that. I always tell kids every time I talk, I said, you know, sports has given me an opportunity to be able to use the ability that God's given me to be an example to young people. And, you know, it's not about what you've accomplished. It's you know, how many lives have you influenced along the way as a coach, as a player? And I was always, you know, loved my teammates and always got along with everybody. But, and then coaching did the same thing. It's all about the kids. It's all about who you're around. And you're just blessed to be able to be a part of great teams, great, you know, as a coach, I've loved every level that I've coached on. I'd love to continue to coach. I'm just having a hard time getting back into it, but it's something I've enjoyed doing because the influence you can have on a person's life as a coach is huge.
Well, Jeff, I want to thank you again for taking time out today. You know, growing up, once again, in a household of Auburn fans, I even married an Auburn fan. I'm still going to say it anyway. Roll Tide to you. Be
Roll
safe.
Tide.
And certainly look forward to talking to you down the road.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.